So Sean, I was shuffling through my cornhole bags the other day, and I came across some bangers. Guess who they're from?
Obviously, Dragon Bags.
Dragon Bags.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I was fondling my dirty dragon. Yeah, it's a great feeling bag. We always talk about, you know, Power Dragon, but let's show a little love to the and rest
what
of the series.
What always
as well.
Takes down a wizard?
A dragon.
Yeah. Would just destroy a wizard. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I mean, unless you're a lighter
version.
If you're a white wizard, then maybe you can get away with it. We'll see. Anyways,
bigger fan of Gandalf the Grey.
Very true. Cooler dubs.
Way better.
But yeah, Dragon Bags. Let's get back on track. But yeah, dude, we always give love to the Power Dragon, but let's just give a little shout out to like the Igniter. All of them.
I mean, Double Dragon.
Double Dragon, Dirty Dragon, the Bagology, all of these bags are freaking bangers. So go do yourself a favor and find yourself some fire bags over at dragonbags.com. Drop code BIGASP12 at checkout and get yourself a set today.
Do it.
Let's let her rip.
Cornhole. Big ass cornhole. We hope you throw it straight. And nothing but four bangers from here on out.
All right, welcome back to yet another episode of the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Sean and Dane are back with you all again. Dane, what's going on, man?
Not too much. I was loving all the cornhole out in the world this weekend.
I bet you were.
Sad that I wasn't a part of it.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it didn't work out this weekend.
Yeah, it kind of sucked because there were so many events going on that we would have liked to, but this weekend, like, we both had plans already, and it was just bad timing.
It was tough.
It was. Well, we originally, if you're a Patreon member, we had kind of teased that we were going to have a special What You Drinking segment coming up with the number one mixologist in all of Cleveland. His name's Robin Gillen. Just happens to be our cousin. But because he's family, we're going to forgive him because he flaked on us. So he's not going to be here.
Okay, we'll get him next
week.
We're going
to drag his ass here, and he's going to make the segment a whole lot of fun. But before we go any further, Dane, do what you do best every single week. Let the folks know what we're sipping on tonight in our favorite segment called What You Drinking.
You too good for your home? Answer me!
Sorry, I was scratching my back. Let's do that again.
Ho-ho! What you drinking? I was going to let it go.
My arm didn't reach quite far enough to hit it. I mishit, but... Dude, I mean, I was joyfully surprised when I walked in to the liquor store and I saw Chill Wave was once again released by Great Lakes.
It is a banger.
It is the first beer that I ever had that after two, I felt like I was wasted. And it's with good cause because it is 9%.
Is that how you rate it?
Yeah.
9.8.
Yeah, I mean, like, the less beer, the better. So, Chill Wave is just, it's been out for a long time. It's one of the first great IPAs to ever grace this sweet earth. Great Lakes just happened to knock it out of the park, but it is an Imperial IPA, 9%. It hits all the right notes.
Yeah, it does.
A really good one.
It does. I'm going the healthier route tonight. I'm going just strictly Miller Lite.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, I finished that one. Now I'm on to Miller Lite because I can't have two. I have to work tomorrow. If I would have two, I would need a little pick-me-up,
Sean.
Very
true.
It's coming from Cornhole Coffee, and we have exciting news for you.
Ooh, the month of January is here.
Flavor of the month, baby. Breakfast blend. It's a medium roast house breakfast blend, plus robust for extra caffeine.
Oh, and listen.
Robusta.
If we're gonna do it, I mean, I want all the caffeine you can give me.
Dude, I mean, you need that kick.
Yeah, correct.
Get the little swift kick in the nuts to get you going in the morning. Go over to cornholecoffee.com, drop code BIGASP at checkout, and grab your beans two hands at a time.
Did you know that the lighter roasts have more caffeine in it?
I did. It's kind of like, okay, that like blew green my tea mind. Has when I more caffeine.
Yeah, man, it blew my mind. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I felt kind of dumb.
New every day, dude.
Yeah, learn and it was like embarrassingly new. Like not that long ago, like maybe a few months ago that I learned that.
Well, again, they say you should always be learning because once you stop learning, you're dead.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah, isn't that poetic?
A little bit
more poetry? Maybe they have some at Cornhole Coffee. Give it a try. Drink, focus, throw.
All right, well, Cornhole family, we have more audio goal planned for you all today. There's tons of action going on this weekend, so we're going to recap for you, including the ACL Open and the TCL SIG results. We have Facebook dramatic readings, obviously. We have bags to review, and up today is a series of bags called the Snapper by Nola Bags. And then we're going to be joined by ACL pro Zach Shibner.
Shibby.
But before we jump into all that, we bring you what's going on in our cornhole lives in a segment we call In and Around the Hole.
With the correct soundbite.
You can do it.
Are you too good for your hole? Answer me!
All right, we've been telling you for years, man. If you're at a board, if you're at a set of boards, and you look down, and your bags are ugly, you're going to play like shit, okay?
Yes.
You can improve your game. It's science has proven it. If you just buy a set of bags that's sexy, and you can do that if you go to Blackjack Cornhole.
Because right? They're all sexy.
They're all sexy.
It's all and sexy Troy's all the sexy. Time over there. Yep.
Yeah, and you can get like a hug from Troy. You get free shipping, amazing customer service. It's, I mean, we've been saying it's a no-brainer. It's a classic win-win-win, okay? Go to blackjackcornhole.com. You throw something sexy. Use code BIGASS10. We're happy. Troy's happy. He makes a sale.
Boom.
World is right. Go to blackjackcornhole.com. Grab your set today and use code BIGASPEN. You're going to save yourself 10%. If you're also in the market for bags, don't forget about Black Sheep Baggers, busting out some of the best designs, some of the well made up bags. They're kind of finding themselves in like this niche right now where a lot of bags are going like bigger templates, super floppy.
Yeah.
Black Sheep Baggers, they're going to be the outlier. All right. They make people, they're
keep
tight little fuller bags. You know what I mean? Costello X. And let me tell you what we hinted at it last week. We got to throw some of the prototypes coming up.
They were nice.
Folks, you're going to like it. So go to blacksheepbaggers.com. And guess what? If you use code BIGASP, you're going to save yourself some money.
Pew, pew.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
All right, man. So I did not get a chance to throw a whole lot over the weekend. Last week, I did get a chance to throw a little bit in the morning through these bags that we're going to be reviewing here later. And if you're watching on TikTok Live, because we are on TikTok Live right now, I'm just going to throw these up there. Pretty sexy. That's what we're going to be reviewing later. So just had birthday parties, man, this weekend.
Little kid birthday parties.
Yeah, dude. So Friday night sucks. We were supposed to go to karaoke on Friday.
That we were.
And it decided to snow about like 12, 13 inches here on Friday. So we canceled that.
Yeah, and the city where we were going, it's street parking only. So
yeah, man,
there was no parking.
Yeah, so Saturday, ended up having to go to Pittsburgh for my nephew's birthday.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
And then Sunday, I had to come back like that morning because then we had an 8-year-old birthday party to go. The only upside to that, I will say, is if you're going to have a kid's birthday party and like other people have to bring their kids, at least make sure there's a bar there.
Yes.
It was at a bowling alley. They had a bar and I didn't even have to get myself a drink. That, you know, we were having a day when my wife comes up to me after I'm helping the kids bowl and she hands me a beer.
Boom. That's called you won the day.
Dude, okay, if you're married out there and you're watching this, if your wife just walks up and hands you a beer after you've had yourself a day, the rest of the day is going to be okay. Let's just put it that way.
100%.
Okay, that's just a sign of things, good come things. It's like karma just wrapping up. It's just, you know, it's like all that good dad vibe just busting out of me.
So
wash it down with a cold Miller Lite. And then, you know what, I started off with Miller Lite, but then I'm like, I want to get a little something going on.
Yeah.
Went to my old favorite, Dortmunder.
Oh, yeah.
Just an old classic.
That's what I was crushing at the work party.
Just can't. Oh, yeah. How was your work party?
So, it was very nice.
Okay.
As usual. I mean, we are an event rental company, so when we put on an event, it's usually pretty snazzy. Yeah. Our mother said possibly the funniest thing I have heard
really
this entire year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, there's a young man that works for me. And he's fresh 21.
Okay.
He's a short, stout, plump young fellow.
Okay.
You know that, like,
fits right in.
Yeah, you know that, like, barely pubescent beard action going on? So he's got one of those happening. And luckily he, like, trimmed it because he used to have just, like, a wiry, like, super patchy
wiry
thing. Yeah. It was not looking good. So mom turns to me and we're sitting there after dinner, just, like, went and got another drink. And she's like, really proud of that man. That young man over there, is he transitioning?
Are you serious?
She thought he was going from female to male because he was a little chesty.
Wow.
Dude, I spit out my beer and I cried laughing for about 20 solid minutes. She's like, you can never tell anyone that. I'm like, I won't. I just said it on the podcast. But was in the moment, dude, I was crying the poor kid, man, it just if he knew. It would wreck his whole world.
My goodness.
But it definitely made for a little levity in the work party. But all in all, like, Can't complain. Like, it was fun. It's just, again, we got hit with a shit ton of snow right when we were driving out there.
Yeah.
Like, it just started shitting snow. Luckily, it was all gone when we were leaving, so the drive home wasn't bad. But, like, it was on the east side, so.
I do have to give a shout-out to, I don't know what brand it is, but my snowblower, I bought it 3 years ago. I've only had to start it twice. Mm-hmm. I haven't done anything. I didn't take care of it. I just left it in my garage. Dude, that thing started up first rip. Like, it was just chomping at the bit to get going again. Like,
finally.
Yes. Oh, dude. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I was walking out to it, and Val's like, oh, why don't you use a snowblower? I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. I'm like, yeah, I didn't winterize the bitch. Like, yeah, I didn't do anything didn't to keep
anything to work.
You know, I'm like, please just start. And I, but, you know, just
so pump it still up. Got gas dude. In it for 3 years ago. Let's go.
Dude, that thing started up first rip, and it still has, it's still going.
Boom.
It's, dude. I honestly
took it
big fan
upon myself to just shovel. So I'm like, here's my workout. I'm just going to do that. And it was light, fluffy stuff, so like I felt like a bitch calling it a workout.
Okay, if we're having true secret time, TikTok Live. So I show up to Saturday, right, going to Pittsburgh, right? Yeah. So my nephew's birthday, and they're having it at my in-law's house. I get it. House a little bigger. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And so we get there, and my father-in-law has had a stroke previously, right? So he doesn't get around quite as much, and he's getting up there. Like, he doesn't need to be shuffling shit. Their driveway had not been touched. We're talking 8 inches solid, like, all the way through. So we pull in at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. Val's like, my wife, and she's like, you should probably shovel. I'm like, sweet.
Great.
Awesome. Just what I wanted to do. Awesome.
After a two-hour car ride.
So I didn't mind, right? Like, yeah, exactly. Well, honestly, it was, like, fresh air. I'm like, yeah, I can be outside, you know, just put my headphones in. So I was doing it.
It's a good attitude,
So
Sean.
Nathan gets there 10 minutes later, who's my brother-in-law, whose kid's party it is. And he's dressed to the nine already. Like, nice jeans, nice shoes, like, a t-shirt, white t-shirt, because he's skinny, right? You can wear a plain white t-shirt if you're skinny. If you're fat, you can't do it, because chances are there's going to be a fucking stain on it somewhere.
You're going to see, like, doughy nips through it. Like, it's never a good look.
Anyway, so that, just picturing that. Picture soccer, all right? And that's what my brother-in-law is, right?
European soccer.
Yeah. Yeah, not like chubby 30-year-old. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, that's a weird outfit to wear right now if you're going to shovel. And he comes up to me. He's like, man, he's like, I got to stop dressing for style and dress for the weather. And he walks in. Never comes back out.
You're just jealous that he had the audacity to do that.
That's why I wanted to bring it up. I wish I could have done that.
Yeah, bold move, Kyle.
It would have eaten me up inside that I wasn't out there. I would have been out there in, like, nice clothes, like, trying to get some doing something. Yeah. No, he was good, just chilling. I went inside, and he comes up to me, and he's like, oh, what kind of bets are you putting on for the games this weekend? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Yeah.
I was shoveling.
Forgive me.
he's like, yeah, you look a little sweaty out there. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Thanks. Oh. Wish I had some nice clothes to change into.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You have no idea where all that loose snow went.
Could have asked them for three shirts.
That was fun. I love family. That's great. It's great. All right. So this weekend.
Besides that, I did watch a bunch of cornhole.
Did you? Okay.
Exciting.
So I did.
And caught quite a bit.
At work right now. It's kind of nice. I have a student, so I have a little free time here and there in between patients. So I did go back and watch some of the matches this weekend.
Nice.
Pretty good stuff. So let's start off with the ACL Open. I think it was number 7.
Yeah.
ACL Open number 7 in Bryan, Texas. Okay. You want to start singles or doubles?
Let's go with singles.
All right.
Why not?
Singles. Logan Chamberlain takes down overall singles, open singles, over Sammy Soto. All right. Now, the final four individuals, all right, first in the bracket and second in the bracket, were all from Texas. So right there, that's like a subtle flex of, like, representing your hometown.
You know what I mean?
Represent that home state. You know what I mean? Like, not letting outsiders come in and push you around. Like, still showing them, like, right now, if we're talking about state powerhouses or just conferences in general, I mean, it's really hard to not consider Texas right now.
Oh, yeah. And that, I mean, just South with the TCL.
Are they the Southwest Conference?
I think they're Southwest, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, that's just such a powerhouse right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a lot of it is with the growth of the TCL.
Yeah.
These guys have solid talent to face off against all the time. And, like, they've just grown
talent
every single year. But all I have to say about Logan Chamberlain winning is Lego.
Yeah. Lego man.
Lego.
So I will say he has been, obviously, since his rookie year last year, he's been widely considered one of the best doubles players in the country, right? Like, every event, he's already won an open in doubles. He was coming into this event playing with Gavin Cano, you know, so high hopes that he was going to do very well, and we'll find out how he did in just a minute. But in singles, he's always been okay. Like, he, like, has had flashes here or there, but he's never, like, really won anything big in singles. Man, he proved everyone wrong, and he finally had the game. And my thing is, like, he's already a really smart player.
He is.
And he has all the shots. He just sometimes loses it, like, I feel like emotionally. Like, you know what I mean? He gets really down on himself and then just kind of compounds. He seemed like everything, he kind of kept everything reined in. Now, it also helps when you're just making every fucking shot you're hitting.
That it does. It helps a lot. Helps a lot.
If he hadn't missed some of the airmails, the match against Gavin Cano would have lasted approximately like 4 rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, he was shooting very, very well. So I love seeing it. I love Logan. He's a great kid. So you'd love to see it. And it's nice that he has success, you know, now on both sides. And he's showing that he is a threat. Is he a top 10 singles guy through a whole season? I don't know. I think it's still early to say that. But I think he's definitely moving in that direction.
But his style game is what I feel like we're going to see start 100%. Seeing over consistent success.
Yes.
Because he just makes it hard to score.
Yes.
And that's really, I think, the key to cornhole now is not everyone seems like they can run bags now, at least at the pro level. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to manufacture some stuff. And he's touted as one of the best. I think he's only improved it.
Well, I think last year we even talked to Logan at one point and he said he really put most of the emphasis on doubles last year.
Yeah.
Like he knew he was playing with Justin Byrne Jr.
Had to make a splash.
Yeah, he really wanted to show that and they go out and they win the first national. So that's where a lot of his emphasis was. Like, I want to make sure that my best performances are in doubles because that's what I want to take care of this team.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, fuck it. Just let it roll, man.
Hell yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Let it roll. Because he's great got player. One of the greatest roll bags in the game.
Sammy Soto is as advertised, right? And he had a phenomenal weekend. The kid's really, really good. He double dipped Caleb Batson, and not many people can say they do that. Again, Caleb in singles, can we just get over that hump now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I almost wonder if it's just like a mental.
Dude, right now it's like right now Joe Niestat and Caleb Batson seem like they're like right there. Like, can we, if either one of those players really just gets over the hump and wins that bracket or wins the whole fucking thing, then
could open the floodgates.
Governor's off, man.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be racing around. I mean, who else had a good weekend? Gavin Cano, man. He's another one. He looks like he just destroys everybody. And then he gets to the end of the bracket. And his match against Logan was a perfect example. He was down 8-0 after 2 rounds. Mm-hmm. And he was just being ultra aggressive just for the sake of being ultra aggressive. Sometimes you have to be okay playing marathons and just settling in.
Yeah.
Knowing that, hey, Logan's throwing probably the best he's ever thrown in his whole career. Maybe if I want to win this, I'm going to have to grind it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's where these younger guys, I still feel like it's sometimes with Harbaugh, despite him winning this weekend, Triple Crown. I feel like these guys just have to accept the fact that they're okay grinding it out. Like something that I think Ryan Windsor is very good at. Like he has that poker player mentality, right? Like he's okay sitting there for fucking hours and just chucking bags and taking two words to get it.
If you had a lead and you keep pouring bags in, he's just going to keep pouring them in behind you until you make that one mistake. And that's so part of the issue.
Cano's showing he is crazy talented, man. Like he's going to do very, very well this year. We're just all waiting. Like if he wins a national again, no one's surprised.
Yeah. Well, my thing is we know he's really good.
Yes.
He knows he's really good.
Yeah.
You don't have to prove it every time you step out there. Like you just you don't have to hit the crazy shot.
Yeah.
You can literally just do the bare minimum to win a match sometimes. And that's what it takes.
Yeah. So Cano and Batson tied. They were tied for third in the bracket. Then you had Trzynski and Jacob Gore third in their bracket. Trzynski, this is like his third open that he's made a very solid run in singles. He's very under the radar. I've been a big fan of Trzynski and Halbert, that pairing. I don't know why. It just seems like it's going to work out. And Trzynski consistently keeps showing up to these opens and doing really well.
Yeah. And especially with the field that's just above
him.
And
with new bags.
Yeah.
With new bags. So
it's very impressive.
Jacob Gore is Jacob Gore. You know what I mean? He had a hell of a match with Gavin Cano. Could have gone either way. Did you see the shot where he ripped an airmail?
Yeah.
I thought it should have dragged.
Yeah, just should have dragged.
Just hung up on the hole, lost 22-20 or something like that.
Isn't that kind of his MO though?
Yeah,
it's leaving that bag hanging on the airmail drag,
But kid's crazy good, still really good. So I don't think there's any concern with that. But then you see his brother Jackson Gore and another young gun rookie Braden Wilson. They tied for fourth in their bracket. So Braden Wilson is one of those guys that I love seeing him do well at an open, right? Yeah. He's an ACL rookie. He's a junior player, did very well on the junior national tour and in USA stuff last year. So he's got a great resume and you like seeing him do well in an event in Texas.
Yeah.
What I'm curious is how does a young gun like that do when he's traveling outside away from home? And he starts going to these, because we've said it before, opens are not nationals. I'm not saying he's not going to do well. I'm excited to watch him. Mm-hmm. He's one of those like dark horse.
Well, I think we'll find out real fast what kind of talent we're going to see out of him in that first national.
Yeah. Again,
he's faced the talent already.
He's somebody that's very talented. Like, he kind of reminds me a little bit of like Ian Cripps, or like that he could have that first season.
Yeah.
Where Ian was, he was solid, mm-hmm. but like he was the wonder kid. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to be really, really good. And he just had an okay season. But Ian has turned himself into a top 30 singles player.
Yes.
So it just took time to kind of get in there. And I think Braden's just going to need some reps. But playing close to home, he did what he needed to do. Had a very solid weekend.
You know what the scary thing, though?
What's that?
Is that Logan Chamberlain was the old man of that crew. All of those names you just listed off, Sean. The collective average of those ages is probably 16.
Did you see what I wrote down?
No, I didn't actually.
So Chamberlain, I said in his bracket, the names he had to go through, he was like the high school bully of the winner's bracket. He beat Cripps, Wilson, and Walker.
Yeah, literally. You
know what I mean? Combined age of like 36.
Yeah, it's insane. Good Lord.
Good players. I want to give a shout out to Tripp Baker. I think he's an ACL elite player this year. He's a pro out of Kansas City area.
Okay.
I think Kansas area. I think. Anyways, he beat Sammy Soto and Almanza in the winner's bracket. Had a really nice run.
Yeah,
they had a very solid day. Anytime you can beat those two guys in the same day, you had a pretty solid day. And then Noah Almanza, Fisher Hamilton, and Ethan Walker, along with Tripp Baker, they all tied for fifth. Noah Almanza, are we back on the hype train? Are you a believer again that he's back and he's going to be rookie year Almanza versus last year Almanza?
I think he'll be closer to his rookie year. I don't think we'll see him.
Is
quite
that the best
get to
Almanza
that
we're ever going to see? His rookie year.
It could be.
He top 10. I mean, that's pretty fucking good, right?
I mean, I think he was like a shot out of the cannon. Not many people really saw it coming.
That's true.
He was the quintessential definition of a sophomore slump.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the third year. I mean, maybe he brings it together. I think he has the talent to take a national down.
All right, so let's move on to doubles. Doubles, you'd love to see it. Jackson Gore and Sammy Soto, they are a pro doubles team. First year they're partnering up this year. They take down and they win over Chamberlain and Kano, who I think going in, besides on paper, Batson and Grindersleeve, Chamberlain and Kano would probably have been the next favorites to win. Just looking at the names going down the list. Gore and Soto were definitely in like that top eight. They haven't played enough together to really get a sense of how good they're going to be as a team. Well, they proved it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
They're going to be a lot of trouble. If Sammy can just, I feel like Sammy is so like level headed, but he still does better with like positivity.
Yeah. A little fire,
but on the positive side.
But Jackson will bring that. Like
100%, but also Jackson can get down on himself.
He can.
Jackson, and I feel like sometimes Jackson would need someone across from him that's going to help pick him up, but they're going to be just fine. They're going to be
good. It'll be better that it's not his brother trying to pick him up, though.
Yeah. Listen, Gore and Soto, they have top five potential this year.
They really do.
It might take a year. Like, if they decide to play together long term, who knows? But this year, they have top five potential. Will they get there? I don't know. But if they ended the year ranked fifth, no one is going to be surprised.
I agree 100%. I mean, Sammy Soto alone, the talent that kid has. I mean, if he goes in and takes down first overall, would you be surprised by that?
Who's that?
Like Sammy Soto. Let's say he just
He came out like a Justin Bird Jr.
Exactly.
No.
Just like wins a whole bunch of shit. And it would not surprise me at all. Like,
it would not shock me if Sammy Soto came out one national number one and these two won doubles. He can pull it. Absolutely. 100% he could. Let's see. We already kind of talked about Chamberlain and Kano, which is really solid weekend overall. Almanza and Trzynski, third. Again, Trzynski, another solid showing. We think Almanza's kind of trending the right direction. Steve Schroeder and Jacob Gore. I love this pairing. It made zero sense on paper, but there they are. Just talent comes about. Steve Schroeder, high PPR, down the middle, slick side, kind of bad guy. Jacob Gore, anything but.
Yeah.
But they made it work.
Seemed to work.
Fourth in the bracket. Very solid showing.
I would be curious to know. I didn't see what bags they were throwing. I caught like a glimpse of matches.
Yeah.
I would assume that Schroeder was just throwing the slick side of whatever carpet bag that he wanted to throw.
Shout out to Kenny Tackett and Charlie Rivera. Local dudes. They take fifth in the bracket. And then Smith and Wiedenfeld. Again, just ho-hum. They just go to every tournament. They take care of business. we're just ready outside of the round limited stuff. Let's just see them take that next jump. Yeah, this
they need
year.
One more big
last
win.
Last year, listen, I'm going to give the kid a pass. He had a hell of a start to his rookie season, right? Dealing with a lot of stuff.
Hell yeah.
Let's see how he is this year. Yeah, I mean, settle in a little bit. I think some people maybe are forgetting like how talented Wiedenfeld really is.
They're just one of the. Am I wrong in thinking that they're just one of those teams that you can't help but root for?
Oh, 100%.
Like, every time I see him in there, I'm just like, God, man, I hope you guys go in 100%. There and take it down.
Women's singles, Bella takes down Maddie McBride, who's a killer player. Anytime she goes to a tournament, anytime in a women's you're always going to see her in top three. She's a killer. Around. She's had a lot of success on ACO before. It's just a matter of time before she's an ACL pro.
Yep.
Nice to see Bella back performing well at a high level. She's scary, man. When she gets really good, scary. Locked and loaded, Bella's not, especially that women's division, no one's happy to see her back.
No, not at all.
In that regard. Shout out to Deb Odom.
Deb! Let's go.
Little Cashmere Woods in our life, man. Hell Deb Odom, loved to see it third. And then shout out to Linda Peralta, who was just our guest last week.
Yeah.
She took fifth.
Hell yeah, man. Like, that's solid showing. And, you know, she was saying that, like, you know, she started to face the talent.
Yeah.
I think maybe she saw that next level of talent at this Open. So hopefully it gets the engines roaring.
So I'm going to rapid fire through the ACL West Conference. Just want to give a shout out to a few people.
Go for it, yeah.
In doubles, the Zazueta brothers take down Hunter Thorne and Spencer, I think it's Fabioner.
Sure.
Whatever. He's an ACL elite player out of California, playing with Hunter Thorne. They took second overall, again, losing to the Zazueta brothers, who are pro partners this year, throwing Buffalo. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
I am shocked that that's a team that, like, Ultra lets go. Because they're, like, a clean image. They kind of fit Ultra.
Local, too? Like, local-ish?
Ish. Yeah, I mean, that conference. Yeah. That's surprising to me. But they're signed with Buffalo, who's putting together a pretty nice roster.
They really
of teams.
Are. Yeah, they got a good team.
Let's see. Third place, our old friends, the decent looking duo, Nick Williams and Andrew Labrador. They take third.
Gotta love them.
Vincent Frisch, Adrian Brunson take fourth, and other notables, Zafton Lopez. A lot of question marks about that team. Mm-hmm. What bags are they going to throw? Are they going to figure it out? Like, I think they're both just pros. They've been around for a while. I think they're going to have a very solid season.
Yeah.
Are they a true threat for a national? I don't know. I mean, I don't think a lot of people would have thought necessarily like Zafton Hadley were a threat for national, but they've made their runs,
the so
you just never know.
So.
They took seventh. Gina Ramirez and Chris Roybal, they take seventh. And then Parent and Valdivia are 13th. Are they still relevant?
I mean, taking 13th in a conference, that's definitely, it's got to be a letdown for them.
Yeah, I just, I mean,
it used to be a conference that they've ran.
They used to, yeah, you figure 3 years ago, they were a team that we were mentioning a lot, like that team that was kind of on the rise and like they were kind of, you know what I mean?
We were kind of touting them as like the ones to put California on the map finally. Like there was that one team that could finally get it done, but I mean, 13th is a little surprising.
Yep. In singles for the ACL West Conference, Tony Forbes takes down Moses Azueta. So Moses Azueta had a hell of a weekend.
That he did.
Nick Williams and Spencer Fabioner take second in their bracket, and Andrew Labrador and Brevin Valdivia third in their bracket. So Brevin showed up for
singles, third. So that's good.
The Triple Crown event, a big independent event that typically touts a pretty good payday.
Oh, yeah.
So they typically attract some of the bigger name pros, and the bigger name pros tend to win it. So you have Richards and Smith. So Mark Richards and Tony Smith, widely regarded probably as the number one team entering in the season. They win over Windsor and Harbaugh, who I think they typically play this event almost every year together. That's kind of the running back. Yeah. And then in singles for that same event, Harbaugh wins over Windsor, and then Tony Smith takes third.
I do like the little Harbaugh Windsor flip to get into singles. Yeah. That's cool to see. I mean, I don't know if like something. I'm very happy that Richards and Smith won that.
Yeah.
I just would have liked to see Harbaugh take it. Like, I don't know. I'm
waiting. In doubles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it.
I don't know. I'm just waiting for it.
I get it. All right. So let's do, you ready for dramatic readings?
Sure.
Let's do it.
In a world where bean bags have brought men to their knees, social media serves as sanctuary for keyboard warriors. Time for the dramatic readings.
And these dramatic readings are brought to you by Big D Bags.
Big.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. Nothing goes better in a big ass fan's hands than the Big D. So why don't you get that big old floppy thing to slap it on down in there, right in the palm, over at BigDBags.com.
Whoa, man, that was smooth.
Right? You want me to take the first one?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I don't have my phone, so.
Okay, well, I will take it. Addicted to cornhole. Raviv, yeah, I don't know. So today at the ACL regional event, we experienced a bag challenge for one of our own players using an ACO bag set. Even though that person has already won the match, but was questioned about his set of bags not qualifying for any ACL events and have to play again and lost. Supposedly, if that player knows their rules and regulations, then they could have still argue that they didn't know and the bags was not challenged before the match starts. This is a reminder to all of us, if we want to participate in ACL events or even in some other cornhole events hosted by other people, we need to abide by the rules and regulations set out there. This may not be the last time, but let's educate each other and learn from the misfortune that we need the appropriate bags going into these events. Grammar police.
Yeah, so grammar police. So, ironically, we found out more about this story and exactly like what happened behind it.
Yeah.
So a 13-year-old kid or a 12-year-old kid, something like that, was playing against a 40-year-old man. The 40-year-old man wins, right? And the kid at the end of the match happens to see that like he has bags with an ACO stamp on it.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, well, like you can't be throwing those. Like, can't throw those bags. Yeah. So, and apparently the kid, it never saw that they were ACO stamped until the game is over. All right, whatever. So the games end, and the kid and the guy's like, apparently there's a language barrier a little bit too.
Yeah.
And he said, he's like, well, what do you want to do? And the kid's like, well, just get new bags. I guess we can just play again. So they played again.
Yeah.
The kid wins this time. Mm-hmm. And then that's why all this is going on. So I get it. Technically, the rule in the ACL is, if you do not call out the bag before the match starts, then the match, that result still stands. But then going forward, the guy can no longer use those bags going forward. So, yeah. You really shouldn't have to pay attention to something like that. And for the guy to write it like that made it seem like he knew what he was doing.
Yes.
But I don't think the guy actually knew what he was doing. I don't think he knew anything about stamps.
No, yeah, he didn't know about the rules. But
no.
Like, to me, like, since he didn't know about it, I think the fairest way to handle it was just replay.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
exactly. And, and the grown adult agreed to the rematch.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, to me, I don't think, again, I don't even think this post was, like, that mean. Like,
no, it wasn't.
I didn't feel like it was just trying to bring light to a situation.
Yeah.
I think it does call for maybe a rule change. I think it needs to be, if it's an ACL event,
it's like just a weird like, vibe, because like, to me, it's almost like he's like, we need to abide by the rules, which said that even though my guy was cheating, he should have still won the match.
Good. Yeah.
But then after that, he wouldn't cheat it anymore.
Exactly. Like,
it's kind of a weird thing.
So even though you cheat, we'll still give you a national championship, but we'll rescind it 3 years down the line.
It's correct.
Right.
Yes.
So
correct.
Watch well out, put. Michigan.
Very elegant. Next one.
Next one.
Addicted to cornhole. The ACL needs a dress code, at least at the majors. These people look like a collection of the homeless. I feel like I can smell them over the television. I've seen far better dressed people at any Walmart. It's a bad look for the activity. It also tells that most aren't making any money. Old sweats, stinky socks and slippers, sweaty hats. It does not exude class.
First off, we never said we were classy in the cornhole community.
Speak for yourself. I mean, look, you see how sharp I'm dressed?
I know, just because you're a sharp-dressed man today. But how many live streams of Noah Almanza did he watch?
Yeah, man. I ironically, in the past, not in that way, have kind of said, like, we need to kind of church it up a little bit. I really do. Like, I'm all for about playing in comfort, but, like, I get what he's saying. Like, it does look, like, very unorganized without doing it. Now, listen, we all love our jerseys, right?
Hell
and
yeah.
Doing that stuff. But
hell yeah.
I do get what he's saying, like the sentiment behind it. And I think as the game gets a little bit more advanced, I'm sure there's going to be some rules about that. But as of right now, listen,
don't throw
ACO stamp bags in ACL tournament, vice versa, and you're going to be good.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine. That's
you can wear moral whatever of the story. You want.
Moral of the story.
sometimes it's a good distraction. If maybe if you smell a little bit, you never know.
Yeah.
Some people use it.
100%.
They definitely do.
Yep, yep, yep. All right, we got one more.
All right, we'll close it out.
Do it.
Addicted to cornhole. Craig McMahon. Riddle me this. What's up with these pro baggers using fake accounts and local blind draws? Probably harmless. Curious? Seems like a stain on the old quote-unquote pro sport. Well, again.
I forgot that like you're doing this because TikTok Live. I'm like, why is he doing it? It's like no one can see it.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. Okay. It was funny because the comment section was actually pretty interesting going through because some ACL pros were chiming in.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Jeremiah Ellis, I think, had a comment in there pretty early on just about like, well, they don't want all the competition to run away. Okay. First of all, this is not like some giant like, hey, we're here to donate fucking money for you motherfuckers.
That's right? Very true.
We're allowed to have like events like where it maybe you don't like it. There are that you are allowed to have ACL non-pro events.
Guess who's not showing up to my Sunday softball league? I'm not getting Albert Bell. I'm not getting Ken Griffey Jr. I'm not getting pro baseball players out here.
Weird references.
I know. They're on my brain. I was just thinking big bats and Albert Bell is the first one that came to mind. Eddie Murray. All right. The switch hitting guru. Like, yeah, none of them show up to my Sunday softball. So why aren't I allowed to play in cornhole events that maybe pros aren't at?
Yeah, I get it. But like, and I know originally it started like that. Because ACL pros at one time were not allowed to participate in any Scoreholio. So they would come up with aliases. Now, if that was the case and they had two profiles at one time, I can completely understand that argument. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're still using two accounts, it's still weird. And I saw somebody write in there. It's like, well, you know, people take their SPR very seriously and, you know, they might use it off, you know, another account. Like if they go to a switch, because they don't want to, it's really hard to get their SPR to climb up. It is a fucking number. Like, are we seriously that concerned about what Scoreholio says our number is?
SPR, man. Some people just live and die by that thing.
Like my goodness, so many people complain doesn't matter
about it. Like it's a metric. Good Lord.
Justin Pern Jr. is good. Really cool kid.
Yeah.
He's not like he's not walking into a bar saying my SPR is like an 85 and like just instantly dripping with pussy.
Exactly. It doesn't happen that right? way, guys. I'm sorry.
I mean, last time I checked.
I mean, we've never had an SPR of that high.
Don't want to brag, but.
What'd you get to?
Mine's in the mid 60s now.
Look at you. Far beyond
subtle
me.
Subtle flex. But so. I mean, right? I mean, I feel like there's just way too much like emphasis on this. And if they really care that much that they're using a fake account, like, dude, if you thought you were a loser before because you like cornhole, like, Jesus Christ. I mean, what the fuck are we doing here?
I know. We do a podcast about it. We don't even care that much.
We might have found the only losers that are bigger than us.
I mean, bigger in what way, Sean?
Listen, I'm telling you what. Whatever fucking filters on TikTok, I feel like we look slim as shit.
I think it's like the funhouse mirror effect.
I'm fine with that. Like, it's
making
nice.
Making you look like you're like maybe 5'8".
I didn't even put one on. We're just that good looking.
Wow.
It's got to be. All right. So we got bag review.
Do we?
I think we do.
And it's not just making them smaller. They completely reshape them. They make them more supple and symmetrical.
I got to catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
And this bag review is brought to you by Gnarly Bags and Boards. Are you in the market for a good set of boards, Dane?
Always.
You should just check out Gnarly, right? Gnarly Radical, Boards bro. Will handle your shit. They make pro-level boards, high quality. They play consistent. They can do custom designs. Whatever you want, Gnarly can handle it. So if you go to gnarlybags.com, use code BIGASP, you're going to save yourself 10%. So if you're looking to buy your loved one a set of boards, they're looking to get involved in the game, first thing you do, you invest in a good set of boards. Go to gnarlybags.com. They're going to hook you up with a good set of boards. If you use code BIGASP, they're going to give you 10% off. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling. All right. This week, we have one bag up for review. It's the Knoller Bag Snapper.
Now, snap them.
I gobbled up a set of these because I saw the picture of the carpet with the slower side on it, and it had me intrigued. Hadn't really seen this before.
Yes.
So we were corrected. Did you see that post about the difference between herringbone and then the chevron? Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but
it was a good point. So I actually liked it. The different patterns, because there are different patterns. This is considered a hybrid type carpet, right? It plays about the same speed, honestly. Five, like right around there, I would say. Maybe right off the bat, it was going closer to a six. But it does slow down as it gets broken in. The difference between this and stuff that you're going to find on the Power Dragon, the Viper R, like all that other hybrid carpet, is despite it getting broken in, it stays pretty stiff. And it holds its shape really nice. Yeah. But at the same time, it doesn't take away hole friendliness. So if you're watching this on TikTok, we got the snapper here. See if you can tell that pattern.
Look at it.
A little bit different. So generally, when I first grabbed this bag, first thing that went into my head was like, oh, this is a big template.
Yeah.
Pretty big template, relatively squared, not very rounded out, still very much holds a square shape, just very slightly rounded. But Nola's been around for a minute, man. We've been a big fan of Nola bags forever because they take chances on doing different things.
Ingenuity.
And I think he found another good one, man.
I agree, 100%.
Like, and I also really like the mud bug before, and this is really nice.
Yeah, people think that this will be gimmicky. No. Has playability, folks. We're telling you.
If like, you're somebody that doesn't want, do you like a bag when it's like 80% broken in?
Yeah.
You don't want it when it's super fucking sloppy. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, you don't want the town tricycle flopping all over the place. You want something with a little bit more class.
It hangs like sleeve this, of wizard. This,
but it's still hole friendly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that has a little bit to do with the fill he uses. It's not all flat disc. It's actually a lot of round.
Yeah.
It does bounce. It does some fun stuff with it. But because it's a little bit of that round stuff, it just tends to kind of just pull it right down. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he uses a liner on this carpet.
You know, I didn't even check that. See, I don't know. I feel like it's just a little thicker.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Holds its shape very well. Plays very... So if you're thinking hybrid carpet, but you're like, I just want to try something different, but I like that feel. I like that playability. Listen, Nola Snapper's right here. Now, we do have to remind you, they're comp stamped.
Sean, it's only comp stamped.
So I know that means it's garbage, but no, I was just kidding. So again, it literally means nothing. If you're not a pro, you can throw the Snapper, and it's a very nice bag. So again, 5.5, we'll call it on the slow side. Slick side, I'm going to call it like an 8. I'm trying to remember for the life of me what other bag we've seen this particular material on.
I was going to ask you, like, it's not the standard. It's not the standard stuff.
But you know what it was on? I think it was on one of the WTF bags. Is this like, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I can't remember the name of it.
Anyways.
Yes, but, moving on. But.
So 5.5, 8. I'll call this, right? Because it's not as fast as you think it's going to be.
No, you think it's going to be lightning, but it's actually, exactly. It's not quite as fast as, you expect.
100%. Design score. We were talking about this before we started recording. What are you going with?
Dude, I'm going with Hundo.
Yeah, man. I like it, man. Now, we've been very critical before on like clip art type designs. Even if this is, it still looks sweet. The color scheme that he picked really works well. And the font, it all flows well together. And I've always been a big fan of their logo, man.
I love the Nola logo. Honestly, this looks like a college like logo almost.
Yeah. You know? I would say
like
that. Yeah,
if this
correct.
Is like the Cincinnati Snappers or something, you know?
It's a weird city. Yeah.
Or Louisiana Snappers. I don't know. It's just alliteration, Sean. My only question is when they come out with a red version of it.
They have one already.
Is it the red snapper? Is it a fish? Can we do a red snapper one, guys? Because one of the greatest quotes of all time from, I'm blanking. Steve Harvey Show. What is it? The one with
Family Feud?
Family Feud, okay. Yes. One of the greatest lines. This one guy just screams, "Red Snapper!" It's one of the best moments ever on the show. But you got to see it on YouTube. Look at it.
Performance score.
Performance for me, dude. I'm going 85.
Yeah, I was wondering how high you were going to go, because I know you tend to like a bag that's a little bit stiffer.
Yeah, it's a little stiff.
So I thought this was going to be in your wheelhouse. Yeah. I tend to like my stuff a little flop to it.
Yeah.
Threw it well, though. I mean, again, I really like his stuff because he always does different things.
There's something about the texture on the slow side that I just really liked, like the feel in my hand. Like I just felt like I could get a consistent grip every time.
And I know people, I feel like I'm getting stuck in this wheelhouse of scores.
That's because good freaking bags keep coming out.
I know.
Like, it's you don't see the gimmick like.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 80. I'm gonna go 82. Anymore. I liked it. I do like it. And again, anything over 80 is something that I would throw again if someone.
Yeah.
I liked it. I did like it a lot. So 82. I'm gonna go with that.
I like it.
Cue the rap horn, man.
I will.
Thanks, dude. Reach us at Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Big Ass Cornhole.
and Facebook at Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors. Head on over to dragonbags.com and drop code BIGASP12 to save yourself 12%. Or go over to Cornhole Coffee, get that morning pick-me-up. Code BIGASP will save you 10% at checkout.
BlackjackCornhole.com for the sexiest bag around. Code BIGASP going to save you 10%. Don't forget about Black Sheep Baggers. Code BIGASP going to save you 10% if you go to BlackSheepBaggers.com. You can go to Big D Bags.
Big D Bags.
Put a Big D in your hand if you're a fan of Big Asp. Why not?
Big D's.
And don't forget about, if you're in a market for a new set of boards, go to gnarlybags.com. Use code BIGASP and you're going to save yourself 10%. Patreon. If you're looking like, God, these guys are really good looking, how can I support them? And I really love listening to them. If you go to patreon.com/BIGASPCornhole for the price of a beer a month, you can support us. What you're doing. I've always wanted to play beer. Like that little kid, like pushing a tumbleweed right now, yeah. Like back and forth. But we have bonus content up there. Just a whole bunch of fun stuff. Training videos by Eric Anderson. We do happy hours. We do bag giveaways randomly. If you're a part of our Christmas extravaganza, Merry Christmas before. And I hope you enjoyed the bags that we gave out.
Soon you're going to learn some great cocktails.
Hell yeah. Oh, God. I'm so excited.
Wonderful mixologist. Yes. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, correct. So we're going to have the Patreon beverage of a month, but it's going to be like a little concoction that our boy Robbie's going to put together. It's going to be pretty sweet.
He's the kind of guy that you walk into his bar.
I was so excited to record tonight because I thought he was going to be here.
You tell him how you're feeling and he will literally make you the perfect drink. Like, he's that good. It's kind of crazy.
He is very good and just super funny. Yes. Did want to give a shout out to our newest Patreon members: Jeffrey Leach, Jimmy Sear, Bobby Novak, Ed Ramsey, Jeff Billington, David Ohms, Steve McIntyre, Shuck Norris. George Toast, Stephen Worley, Jonathan Torres, Lori, Mike Hoffman, and Ashley Wicca. We appreciate you all. Thank you very much for your support. And next, all right, tune in for a pretty entertaining interview with Mr. Zach Schibner. I'm pretty excited. We've talked to him a few times. I thought he was ghosting me. I called him out at the last ACL, and he's like, oh, hey, my Facebook account got hacked. I have a new one. So I was apparently getting ghosted by some hacker.
Oh, well. Live and learn.
Live and learn. But I hope you guys enjoy the interview. We'll be back with more stuff next week. And I think the TikTok stuff went decent. If you're listening to this and you're on Facebook and you want to know, like, hey, like, where should we go? Would you rather be on TikTok? Would you rather YouTube? We have some options. So, let's do that.
Let us know.
Oh, yeah. Well, as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later. All right. Welcome back to the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. We are now joined by ACL Pro, Mr. Schibner. What's going on, dude? How you doing?
Should be.
Not too much. How about you? Nothing. And just I don't mean to correct you here, but it is Schibner. I know
it is Schibner.
But to pronounce it, yes, correct. It is Schibner, which I know that was one of
Zach questions.
Mr. Schibner. All right. Well, yes. I apologize for this episode.
Oh, I'm just gonna keep calling you Schibner.
That is why it's Shibby. Because a friend from college said I can't call you Schibner, so I'm just gonna call you Shibby.
I like that. Shibby. I like that. So where are you living these days?
Right now, and for the last 7 years, I've been in St. Pete, Florida.
Okay.
Originally from Pittsburgh, though, for the first 20 so years.
Where about in Pittsburgh?
Just outside of it, McKees Rocks, Coriopolis area. Went to Cornell High School.
My wife is from Bethel Park.
Oh, nice. Yeah, actually, before I moved to Florida, I was an assistant golf pro at a country club off of in McMurray.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So I know my way a little
talking
bit.
Talking about your, Pennsylvania that's stuff about around the only, Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's about the only thing. I went to school in Erie. That's like the only city I know in Pennsylvania. Yeah,
pretty much.
There we go. Pretty bunch much. Of PA connections. Mm-hmm.
So how did you head down to Florida? Like, what brought you down there?
Well, I broke up with an ex at the time, and I was living in the middle of the state in Harrisburg. So I was like, well, I'm not going to move back in with my mother, and I have family down here. So it kind of made it easy to move down here and kind of just did a whole fresh start thing.
Okay. And how long have you been like in the competitive cornhole world?
So I've played it a while, obviously, like everybody else has, but when I started learning about the different tournaments everywhere and meeting people down here, once I first moved down here, I started getting into it more and realized how not good I was compared to everyone else who played 5 days a week. And my competitive nature, I didn't like that. So then I took it serious that year. That my year to go pro was probably my first really serious year, grinding hours and hours on top of hours to get where I am now.
Okay. And before Cornhole, you were a pretty avid golfer, correct?
Correct, yes.
Were you trying to make that like a career at one point?
I was when I lived in Pittsburgh, whenever I was an assistant golf professional, because it was obviously the easy, accessible working right there, being able to golf for free, equipment stuff. Now, things are a little more expensive when you move down here and you're not in it, so I kind of put that in the rear view.
Okay. And then cornhole, like, what did you think when, like, the cornhole pro thing was, like, a reality? Like, was it somewhat recently that you just learned about, like, the pro like aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's all that same year. It felt like a whirlwind, honestly, just as much travel that I did in that 1 year, because obviously you wanted your point chasing. So that's how I wanted to do it. I didn't want to have to worry about going through the qualifier because it's just hell. Words cannot describe. I was following people, and I was more nervous than them when I was following my
only
friends.
A man like Trevor Brooks can walk in there and just know he's going to take it. He's like, crazy, yeah, I'm gonna pass through this real quick.
So
this is going to be easy. We'll be home for lunch.
Mm-hmm. So was there like somebody in your area that like you, when you were trying to learn how to get better, that you like tried to like emulate or like you tried to throw like?
So before I got serious and realized my true identity as a cornhole player, the carpet style, I did throw game changers like every other, I'm sure, normal person who started out playing cornhole, and it was Cody Johnson.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay.
And then he's the one that actually told me to stop stepping because it wasn't good once I got that angle to my bag. And then he's actually the one who practiced with me and we made each other better and I became pro. He won a national but to go back to what you said about emulating, funny enough, I actually tried to emulate my game after Tony's game.
Okay.
Because I saw someone that threw that same style. He succeeded at it very well. So I was like, well, you just try to do that too. If he can do it, you can do it. It just takes practice.
And have you always thrown like that natural cut shot?
Not until Noah beat Jamie at that. I think it was a national. I forget which one it was, but that's when the role first came on the scene, I think, on ESPN.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw it, and that kind of ruined my flat bag.
Okay. So you just stuck with it?
Yeah, I stuck with it. For a minute there, I couldn't throw on the outside. I probably had to hit one or two planks from side railing to go straight in the hole. And now I just throw a little harder. It's gotten flatter. So it's just progressively getting flatter.
Okay.
Who knows if it'll ever get there. But as long as the bag goes in the hole, I don't know.
I mean, I was going to say, it's working fine right now. Yeah, as I say, you don't really have to change a whole lot. And then how did you partner with, like, you throw Siva, and they're, like, some of, like, our favorite people, like, in the business. Like, how did that whole thing work out?
I think it was just between reaching out and then also whenever I teamed up with Gage.
Okay.
Also, because he's up north there. I think Storm had a lot to do with it too.
Okay.
Because me and Storm knew each other before I came pro. So I think he kind of put my name in their ear also. Okay. So yeah, I think that's how that worked out. I'm not 100% sure though. But obviously just word of mouth and stuff, communication.
Okay. And what's it like playing with Gage? Because last year, I think you guys finally did enough last year to kind of put, you guys are no longer like under the radar anymore. You know what I mean? Like people know who you guys are now. But last year, did you know how good he could be? Like before you guys paired up?
I did, yes.
Okay.
And I got it firsthand. We played, which I think this is the reason why we partnered up with just the chemistry for one. But the year I went pro, we teamed up in the West Virginia Open. In Triadelphia, the same place that it's going to be this year.
Okay.
And I actually played in a regional with him that weekend beforehand. Ruben Snyder put on one on Thursday. And funny enough, we went up 20-2 and lost our first game and then ran through the entire loser's bracket and double dipped for the win. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a pro also at that one point. But played that, played the Open. Our chemistry was great. And we figured he needed to play well for me to go pro. So I said, go ahead and you play well and I'll pull. Partner up with you next year.
So right now,
joke,
right now is cornhole like your full-time gig or what else do you do?
It is not. I actually work for an insurance company.
Okay.
As a full-time job during the week.
Okay. Are we hoping that this becomes a full-time job eventually?
Absolutely.
Yeah, wouldn't that be sweet?
wouldn't anybody?
It would be sweet. Only if a podcast could take off for cornhole too, Sean. Someday.
Jesus, man.
Someday.
I feel like it will. If the ACL gets bigger, I feel like a lot of the podcasts around it will get bigger as well because then the names are going to be just as big. And
Yeah, I just feel like it's just in a weird time, man, right now. Like, it's just like we don't still know what the future holds. And it's already grown way faster than we thought it was going to. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like maybe we grew too fast and like they just were not prepared for it. And like it still seems like very, I don't know, like backyard sometimes. You know what I mean? And I mean that with a lot of respect. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not talking about like ACL Nationals. Like, they have their shit together. You know what I mean? When you see the broadcast and stuff, it seems very professional. But there's a distinct difference between a national and an open. And when you go to an open, you kind of get that shit show feel a little bit every once in a while. And but you don't get that at the same time. So I don't know.
Very true.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Stay positive with it.
There it is. Power and positivity. I believe in it. Good Lord. I get a lot of questions.
too. Okay. So I did like this question, and it's a little bit more on the serious side. So I figured let's get that before all the wheels fall off. Chris says, ask him about his latest work he's been studying on his mental side of the game and competition. She said, I was impressed hearing some of the things that he was studying.
So I'm going to give a shout out to Devin Harbaugh for this one.
Okay.
He actually helped me get into this aspect of it by listening to his interviews. And then I spoke with him after Corpus last year when, I don't know, maybe he missed like one or two bags out of like 100 against that guy in that finals. And I just asked him, I was like, do you get bored? Like just throwing bag after bag after bag. I mean, if you don't have headphones in or something and you don't have tunnel vision, I mean, you're going to just look off every so often and there goes a bag. And then it's like a domino effect. It's happened to me plenty of times. And he just mentioned to me that he started reading like different sports psychology books, stuff that's relatable to you and your life. So I've picked up a couple of these books from this author called Darren Donnelly. And the first one, I don't know if he has them in order, but I kind of found an order that worked for me. The first one was just changing your whole mindset on your, to think more positively about everything, to go against your self-talk. Cause obviously if things happen, you're going to talk negatively about yourself. Dude. And then you have to try to find a way to,
dude, this is like, you're like talking reel to me that right back now. In.
Yeah. So like the first one, which I point up, I have them here. That is that one about the positive thinking.
Okay. So that's what and I need to once read.
And then once I felt that I implemented that, then it's all about building confidence is the next book.
Do you ever find yourself slipping though? Like you throw a bad bag and you're like, you fucking suck so bad. Like what the fuck? Like, do you ever find yourself slipping?
Oh yeah. You're still going to get mad. You're not going to be like just sitting there. Oh yeah, I'm happy. No one's going to like you at that point. Yeah, it's, like, it's like living your fake world over here. But no, you're going to get mad. It's just how you react to that negativity.
Okay.
So it's like, I would always say something real quick and it's like, all right, let's go. You've done this a million times. Just do it again.
Okay.
So it's like, you kind of try to reinforce what you know you can do and are able to do.
Okay. I like that. I'll try it.
Yeah. Sean will start off and be like, done this a million fucking times. Why do you suck so bad right now? He'll just start reeling and going down a rabbit hole.
Oh yeah. That first
start positive, and then it'll get real dark real fast.
This one's a good question. I think Justin wants to know, what's your favorite part about being a pro?
My favorite part, I would have to say meeting everybody, not the playing, not getting to call yourself a pro. I think just the whole Cornhole family are just amazing people.
You're like kind of a popular dude too.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I'm glad you think so.
I do, don't you think?
I mean, usually, you know, we like the popular kids. We try to associate ourselves with them. So
no, I do like because not like if we post a picture of like that we're having an interview with people, you get a sense from the Cornhole community, like who's commenting, like are they giving them a hard time? You know, like because you know how it, guys, like if we like you, we're going to make fun of you. You know what I mean? So like if they're giving you sometimes it's crickets, man. We post these things up like, hey, we're having the so-and-so on. It's like nothing. I'm like, well, I'm just going to delete that post. So yeah, well, like, we all forget about that.
Feel bad.
But yeah, I mean, you had a bunch of questions. So this is it's nice to see, man. So and then he also wants to know what's the best place that you've been to for Cornhole?
Best place. There's so many. It's hard to keep track of them.
All right.
Even the last like 2 or 3 years. I'll just go recently. The venue in Ohio I thought was really nice. I really like it wasn't like that, like a, what am I trying to think of, a basketball court, but the floor was awesome. The venue was set up great. You had that space in between the mats.
Yeah.
It felt like everything was set up really nice.
It was huge.
And the venue was great.
Yeah, it was great. Huge. I could not believe how big it was.
Exactly. That's was my first thought when I walked in and saw a million people in the parking lot at what 8 a.m. And I'm like, well, what? People are addicted this much and didn't realize there's a whole other event going on of volleyball and basketball.
The trying to think. The problem is when you go to these like cornhole events, though, like I don't do you ever make it into like a trip like where you're not just going there for cornhole? Because like if you're playing, you don't get the opportunity like to go out and like see the city and stuff. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, I get to go like people are like, oh, don't you want to like go to California, all the warm weather stuff? Like, well, we go to Texas all the time. Like I get to walk outside like between 10 p.m. and like 1 a.m. You know what I mean? Like that's it. You're stuck indoors all these times.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I mean, we don't get to see much.
Well, that's why I'm excited to finally go to Spencer's this year. Spencer's, you know what I mean? Because like, I feel like that's just like a different ball
Hell
game.
Hell yeah.
So.
Yeah. Spencer's is awesome. That's what my wife comes out with me to Spencer's too. And we make that kind of like a good day earlier and make that a full trip. Just so it's not all just cornhole. When she comes, we try to do a day earlier just to do that. If not, then it's more or less I treat it like a business trip.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Now, how often are you getting out to golf right now?
I think the last time I golfed was Jordan Camba's bachelor party, which was, I think, like October.
Okay.
So not often as I would like.
Okay.
But
what's your handicap these days?
Well, I like to say I'm probably between like a 5 and a 7, but I could shoot a 75. I could shoot an 85 just because I don't play enough anymore. But
amen, brother.
If the driver's working, I could shoot closer around par.
Yep.
I've heard that before.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, that is definitely that is my kryptonite as well.
Hell yeah. Let's see. Brooks wants to know why White Claw.
Why White Claw? Because it tastes good. I'm 31. And I never liked the taste of beer. I just kind of did it in college to get drunk. So at this point, I like the flavor.
These are honest.
I like the taste. So I drink for taste.
And someone wants to know, who is your favorite partner to play with?
Who was that? I wonder that. I think that was Jack Gore, right? So I'll start off by saying this. I'm not going to take the cop-out route and pick my pro partner. Obviously, I love playing with Cage. It's why we teamed up for the second year in a row. So I will go outside of that. So still love you, Cage. Don't worry about that. But it's hard. I would have to say I do like playing with Jack a lot.
Okay.
We've played twice together. Last year, Kentucky didn't go so well, but we played really well this year together in Memphis.
He seems like he's back.
Yes, he is, in my opinion. Yeah. After watching him win juniors over his brother, them win doubles, and before he even won doubles, I was on Mark Richards' TikTok with him and Tony, and he was like, who do you got winning singles this weekend? And I was like, well, after Jack just beat his brother, I'm taking Jack to win singles also.
Yeah, he's found it, and it's nice to see. And in doubles, he's going to be an issue with Sammy Soto, so that's going to be a very fun team to watch.
Yeah, they're going to be a tough team for sure, but I always like playing against carpet players. You play the same game, so
it
makes it fun.
I mean, yes, whoever hits like the crazier shots is going to win. Is usually what happens.
Exactly.
But you throw a bag like you're mad at it. Like you just want to get out of your fucking hand. You know what I mean? Like you do. Like you can't get out of your hand fast enough.
I think it's because I push it and I don't throw it.
Would you say the sensation is almost like it's like rolling off of your hand as it's coming out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the whole, because the way I hold it and then I come back, I don't move my wrist at all until I let the bag go. Like, it's very weird. I just, once I get it in my hand, I just come back and I push it.
Dane just started doing this. Dane had a hitch in his giddy up for, we'll say, a good 6 months.
It did. Where
he thought he found it and then he lost it. And then you just made that one subtle change. What's you say? Like, you just stopped moving your wrist.
Stop moving my wrist.
And all of a sudden, he'd learn how to play again. And it's like remarkable, like the night and day difference. Like, I'm like, oh shit, like, where was this? Like, the last fucking regional we played together.
It's just you, man.
Yeah. I think, seriously, sometimes I do take it personally.
That's, I mean, Taylor Swift has a song about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
It's just like, I'm the problem.
It's crazy how many times, though, you'll just like find something, but you'll be practicing or in a game. It's like, wow, I can do that. And it's like, what did I just do?
Yeah.
And you can't find it for like,
it's like weeks. The one time I roll a bag, I'm like, how did I do that?
Like, my kryptonite was throwing a bag like your natural bag. your natural cut. Like, I could not throw a cut forever. Could never get a bag to go from right to left ever. But now I can finally do it. And I, like, the first time I did in a match, I'm like, I looked up. I'm like, oh, I did it. Like, oh my God. And then I had the same shot again, shanked it right off the board.
Oh my God.
Like, hey, you know, you have that sometimes.
Sometimes you hit it once.
Practice.
It's all. Hey, now you can hit it.
Practice.
Green light to throw it every time.
People may look in last year and see how like confident I was throwing that bag, but at half the time I didn't know where the bag was going, and it just kept tumbling over and over. Like, all right, we're just gonna keep rolling with this because it's working.
It worked. It looks sweet too. You know what I mean? Like, it really does. Like, it's like great. Like, it's easy social media stuff because anytime you can do that, people are like, oh my God! Like, and you meant to do that? Like, well, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I was hopeful it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my head, that's what was going to happen, but rarely does that ever match up with the actual. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Do you have any cards over there?
I do have good. I got some good ones, actually.
All right.
You guys ready?
Yeah. So we always do like this segment called Fun Random Shit. So Dane's is going to.
I'll shuffle them up real quick. Let's see what we got here.
I do have one little question at the end.
Too. All right. First one.
Oh.
If you could get drunk with any U.S. president, who would it be and why?
Oh, man.
I know, you got to be careful. We can't get canceled on this, guys. All right.
I know. Now I'm good.
Man, I'm kind of leaning towards either Teddy Roosevelt or Kennedy. Because Kennedy, like, he just hung out with some ballers. You know what I mean? Like, in the day.
I mean,
like,
the old blue eyes and Marilyn Monroe. That's kind of
where I was leaning towards. Like, I always thought JFK was a baller.
Yeah, man. And he said, you know, and he's Irish. You know, he can drink a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we'd have similar tastes in what we like.
See, we're talking about one night. Give me Nixon all day. He was a crook. So it'd be baller, right? Like, it'd be a baller night for sure.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The stories Bill Clinton could tell, though.
That's very, dude. I was thinking Bill, too, man. Bill Clinton would be a good one.
You should have said
George W. would be a good one.
You shouldn't have done one. You should have did like a golf foursome, but an all day.
So all right, let's go food. Right now. Golf foursome.
Golf foursome?
Yeah. Who you doing?
Trump. So Trump for sure. Because I want comedic relief. And Trump, I don't care where you fall on him on either side. The dude's just fucking funny. All right. So I want Trump there. I think, give me JFK. Just because I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, and then I'm trying to think, like, do I want someone that's for sure a worse golfer than me? Just.
Yes. Yes, you do.
How do you know who was the worst?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I really don't.
You could tell which ones were athletic, though.
I mean, we could go. We could go with the other Roosevelt. Yeah, I mean, but we won't do that.
can't really get up to swing club.
Give me Teddy Roosevelt. He's always been my favorite. I always thought he looked like a badass.
It's just all the shots of him with a rifle and stuff in his hand.
Fuck
He was kind of a badass.
He can handle himself.
Yeah, give me Bill Clinton.
Okay.
I'll take that for the stories for sure. He would be in my cart because I think it would be hilarious and we'd get wrecked. I'm trying to think of like a spicy. Actually, maybe Trump and Biden in the other cart just to see how like who wins the fight.
Oh my gosh.
And how many times Joe falls when he gets out of the cart. Like, that could happen a lot too. No, I wouldn't do that. I would stay with Nixon just because I think he would be kind of comedic relief as well, just kind of aloof. Closing it out, man. I don't know who would be. I mean, give me George Washington. Let's go like OG. Just and he's like a tree. He's a giant man, and I think he would be. It'd be funny to like kind of make fun of him and his knickers and stuff. Hey, watch your powdered wig there. Oh my God, are your teeth wood? All right,
for sure.
Yeah, that's where one of mine was going to be with the OGs, but I was going to stick with the first one, JFK. And then you made a very good point with the Trump.
Yeah,
it would be kind of comedic.
And he's a good golfer. You need somebody on the scramble that can help a little bit.
Sean, you never actually see the ball land. You just see somebody throw it on the green.
I've heard from people that have golfed with him though, like you know, on like YouTube golf stuff like that. He is like a legit golfer. So I don't know.
Yeah, and then my last one would be like you said, one of the OGs, and I'm going with Honest Abe.
It would be a good one.
And you know, he'd probably be naturally good because he was tall and skinny. You know what I mean? Like he would like.
I think he was a lefty.
Club head speed. It looks like he barely swings. And some, you know, it's just ridiculous. And I'm short and fat, so I have to swing it like out of my ass just to get anything. It's so unfair. Fuck physics.
Yeah, and if And if we lose, we'll just go play 2-on-2 basketball against someone.
Easy.
All right, I think this is a it's another party related one. We'll just stick on theme. If you could party with one sports team from history, who would it be?
Damn.
I'm going like 96 Yankees. Give me like Daryl Strawberry and Paul O'Neill and shit. Like, let's go.
I'm trying to stay away from my Homer picks, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys have a few of them.
I mean, you can, I mean, again, like, if you want like a fun Steelers
team,
well,
I'm trying
team,
to think
like,
what sports athletes would be
more fun. Than
honestly, though, I'm kind of thinking like hockey guys are fun as fuck, man, to party yes. with. They're a little crazy, but they're fun to party with. They would be kind of fun.
I was thinking hockey or NBA.
NBA yeah. would be like, I mean, honestly, I was even thinking like Cavs championship team because we still had we had Birdman on that team and shit. And like, you know,
Kevin Love.
He was a partier. The other one I was thinking too was it would be like circa 2000 Texas Rangers with Josh Hamilton. Oh, Jesus. Again, that was right when he was in his downward spiral.
Like, come on, the man's doing good now.
I know he is, but like, if you're there for the downward spiral, he still had good times during that. Let's be honest.
There.
Let's see, man. I don't know. That's tough. Give me.
I got one while you're thinking.
Go ahead.
Mine would be. I don't know why it came right to mind. Probably because I've been watching too many documentaries, but. The Bad Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. That's a good one.
Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, man, that is a really good one.
I mean, hell, you got the young Rodman on that team.
Dude. Yeah, and they were just mean guys. Like, they would party hard.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
You know, you had nothing to worry about in the club if you're with them.
No.
100%.
No.
I mean, you could also, like, try to join, a team that had, like, Wilt the Stilt and get after that. Because, you know, he was bringing around, like, 30 women after the end of every game. I always enjoy that, too. Just got to wait your turn.
I'm going to go with.
It's wherever you want to go. What route?
Exactly. There's a million of them. Clearly, I want to just go for the degenerate drug route, apparently.
I could probably go with the Red Sox when they finally won the World Series.
Yeah, that would be a good crew. You would have
Manny Ramirez. You have Big Poppy. You have Jason Veritek.
I think Veritek was on that squad. Right.
Dustin Pedroia. Kurt Schilling.
Euclid.
Yeah, Euclid.
They
drink. They handle themselves.
That's pre-Pedroia, though.
Correct.
Because he would be the one that I think he would be like this little fireball of energy that who's hammered, you can get him to do anything.
Like the only guy I can relate to height-wise, though.
It's very true. That's very true. No, baseball players are tall.
Why I didn't want to go basketball, because I'll be like, oh, like, who's that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, hey, what's going on?
He must be the agent.
Yeah.
Be like, I am.
Yeah, be an awkward height, like eye level all night, like staring at people's like, just fucking waist height.
What's hitting me in my face?
Yeah, but the good thing is, though, you would stand out. So.
I would. I glow.
Everybody would come to you.
Yes, so. That's very true. That's true. Yeah. I'm not going to say it. Just continue. Right. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
We'll go off the party rails for a minute. If you could be the patron saint of something, what would it be?
Ooh.
What is that? Patron saint?
Patron saint, yeah.
I'd be the patron saint of missed fourth bag. You know what I mean? First three bags are in the hole. You just shanked that fucking last bag.
Way to keep it on brand.
Yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
I like it.
I'll keep it in the same realm, but not fourth bag, but missed one bag.
Fair enough. Okay.
Tens.
Patron saint of tens.
Doesn't matter whether it's
I like real. That. I mean, that could work well for women, though, too.
I can just do the... cornhole shank, or just a shank. Patron saint of shanks. It could go golf. It could go cornhole. Whatever you want.
For sure.
Because if I start hitting the ball right, I might as well just fucking quit that day. You know what I mean? Just done. I'm a mental midget. Everything's going on in my head. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm trying to correct it as I'm swinging down. You know what I mean? Just, it's not good. Yep.
I might be the patron saint of not giving a shit.
Oh, I like that.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I have an innate ability to let things just kind of roll off. Move on.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's good, though.
Calm demeanor.
That concludes
your... You need that trait.
I have one more, actually.
He has the other side, too, though. Don't
I do, but the other one quickly takes back with control. last but not least, Sean, I'm curious on your on this one.
For okay.
You. How many rats would it take to overwhelm you and kill you in a fight?
Rats?
Yeah. I'm going at least triple digits.
Yeah, that's okay. That's I was starting at 100. I'm like trying to picture like 100. I'm like,
I say,
is it just me? Like, do I get? Is it anything I can grab?
I think it's like, you and your house, and you're just, you know, fend for yourself. They just
start coming after you.
Do you give me a fucking golf club, man? I'm taking out.
Dude, fuck a golf club. Give me a broom, like something big, like a fucking snow shovel or something.
I'm saying, give me my fucking driver. Or give me a 3-iron. You know what I mean? I'm just gonna wreck shit.
Yeah. I got my golf club sitting in the corner there. I got a bunch of tools.
I gotta say, I mean, it's so crazy. 300 plus.
Yeah, I'm thinking that they're going to have to be, like, enough of a wave to, like,
yeah,
be past my knees or something. Like, because I do wear size 13s, and I have stomped a lot of mice in my day, like, at work and shit. I have no problem stomping a couple thousand rats.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I'm going to go, like, 4,000 or 5,000, because, like, I'm that still many? An able-bodied man. Yeah.
4,000 or 5,000?
Fuck yeah, dude. Like, it's fight for your life, man.
It makes sense what he's saying too. Like they're going to have to come.
Is it a fight to the death, or are you just trying to get out?
I mean, it's asking you how many would it take to overwhelm you and kill you? And I think like it would have to be in the thousands. I'm going to say 4,000.
Yeah, I would like to think that. Yes, correct.
Yeah, I'm gonna believe in myself.
Are we talking about little guys? Or are we talking about like New York fucking rats?
We're just talking rats. They're going to come in all shapes and sizes. There's going to be some rats of unusual size from the Princess Bride. You know,
fuck.
Yeah, right?
Nice little reference.
Capybaras.
Yeah, I was just curious. Say that's a good reference.
That's a class. I mean, you're classing this place up right now. You're Jesus. Welcome. People are going to start tuning out.
Sorry, guys. yeah, fart shit. Damn it. Fuck. All right, here we go. Bring it back home.
There we go. Back on brand. What about you? How many rats is it going to take to take down Shibby?
Well, I'm a bigger fella, so I'm on the same boat. It's probably a couple of thousand just because, I mean, they're going to have to get some height to take you down. Exactly. I mean, just from coming in at the bottom, I mean, nibbling at your feet. I mean, you're swinging and kicking them and it's not going to do anything on the ground. They're going to have to get height.
Like I'm doing like
pile on top of each other.
One gets,
like
up, wave, your, one you gets up your pant leg.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like getting like spinning fists going, just throwing super fast. Or
you
get
distracted
like,
with one in your pants, and before you know it, they're on your neck. Like,
I mean, I'm throwing on my snow boots and just doing some Irish dancing. I would just stomp the shit out of
them. If you're like overwhelmed, like they just start coming down the stairs at us right now, you don't have time to like, hold on. Let me go put on my like stomp
boots. But I'd be able to get to that point.
Okay.
I believe in my ability.
Yeah. You're an athlete.
If you can't get to that ability, just take your clothes off because at that point, they can't get anything. You'll see them and they can't sneak around.
I also don't want them jumping up in anything.
No, I'm good. I don't want their rabies riddled teeth biting through my shit. I would try to throw on any clothes that I had close by, get extra layers on there.
Yeah, that's correct.
If they're trapped in that bitch, you're getting smothered.
Yeah.
Like, you just start slopping on the ground. Exactly. No, that's the worst thing you do. You never fall on the ground, Sean. Yeah. Then they'll get you.
I'm sorry. Survival 101.
It might be 7 rats if you fall on the ground.
I mean, you just try to go like scare tactic and just like catch one and just rip its head off and like show the rest of them. Like maybe the rest of them will be like, oh shit.
Got really weird. I can't wait to clip this first.
I'm just really thinking.
With how his responses are. Oh, that was aggressive. Just like, wow, that's good.
The wheels are spinning now.
The visualization right now going on in my head of that is.
I know.
And his family's going to listen to this and stuff.
What the fuck were you on?
All right, so you're a golf guy, and I have this question I've been wanting to ask for a while, but I needed to wait for a guest that was going to truly appreciate this, right? So you've heard of this small golf term. It's called the Masters, right? So we know about the Masters dinner, right? So last year's champion picks the menu going forward. I want to know, you won the Masters last year. What's your menu this year?
All right, so what are we doing?
Like same thing goes for you. Yeah, so they normally, it's kind of open. It's kind of open. I had some people had appetizer, then salad, some had soup, salad, then the main course, then dessert, however you want to do it.
All right, so I'll just say everything that will be there. So we're going to have definitely some Caesar salads, probably one of my favorite salads. It's not the only salad I'll eat.
Fair enough.
You doing fresh anchovies on that, B?
I'm not an anchovy person.
I mean, that's what Caesar dressing is. It's anchovies ground up in that. Yeah.
Well, that's probably why I like it, because it's not just doesn't say anchovies.
Yeah, correct. Can we just
sorry like, if I spoiled that for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you did, really.
Sorry.
Damn it.
I'm just saying, you say you don't like anchovies. Well, now you do. There you go.
I feel like mine would be like a child because I'm very picky.
Okay. Oh, listen, I want to hear it.
Some picky, simple. So I would say mac and cheese would definitely be there.
Okay.
Some kind of chicken, however you like it. You could get it grilled. You could get it fried.
Okay.
However, then your salad and then dessert. I would say some kind of cheese, like an Oreo cheesecake.
Oh, okay. That's solid. I like that.
With some ice cream on the side.
It was it's a very like Bubba Watson type menu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiger Woods made fun of Bubba Watson because he's like a 5-year-old. Like,
we all got a Happy Meal when we walked in.
Dean, I'm interested to hear yours.
All right. So
do you want me to go first? Because I feel like you're like the food dude.
Yeah, you can go first. I mean, I can let it up.
I do agree.
Sean's had this answer for weeks waiting for someone to come
So purposely, I write this down and I have a running list, but I don't forget. I don't look at the list until like next week's episode. So I try not to think about this stuff. I did put a little thought into this, though.
Of course you did. He's a guy who maybe spent 3 hours on it.
I think you. I agree. The Caesar salad is smart. A lot of people like it, but I would like to have some sort of soup as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, just because I'm going to have seafood later on as well, I think I want to stay away from that. So a good French onion soup, right?
Ballin'.
Good French onion soup, or you can have Caesar. If you're feeling you want both, listen, I'm a giver. You can have both. I think that's going to take care of like the appetizer stuff because you don't want to fill in. And I think I got to go. I couldn't decide if I want to do like sushi or something like that. But yeah. I think I just go, give me a surf and turf, man. Give me a good steak and give me like a good lobster tail. Like, I mean, like,
you giving people the option, like maybe scallops or lobster tail, or lobster tail.
Or if you want crab, I'm good with that too. Gotcha. You know what I mean? Okay. But yeah, some sort of surf and turf. And then, and obviously you're going to have like, you know, the side, like garlic mashed potatoes or the rustic red potatoes, something like that.
Sean, what are you having?
Man, with that, I think you got to go like the rustic red potatoes. And then maybe like some asparagus on the side, something like that.
Oh, like that little hollandaise on that asparagus.
Yeah, for sure.
Get after it. All right,
so then dessert. Man, I think you go simple after that. You know what I mean? But you want something that's going to like cleanse the palate. So like I like very simple, like a vanilla ice cream, but not apple. But go with a warm chocolate chip cookie, right?
I like
done. It. Just simple. Just after all that, you know what I mean?
You like maybe a skillet
just
cookie?
Bring it back. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right? Yeah. And then you just bring them back home.
Nice.
I mean, just remind them that like I can be classy, but I can also be like the next door.
So first question, this is the meal that takes place to kick off, correct? Like this is before
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. That's perfect. So I am getting all of my fellow golfers so full. We're going to go 5, maybe 7 courses. All right.
I love it.
We're going to let it rip. Like we're just going to start off with just simple, like, good old fashioned breadsticks.
Now you realize that you only attend this if you were a former champion.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. All right.
But again, gotcha. I'm just going to former champions. I mean, a lot of them still play. So
they do.
And they know how to win. So might as well knock them out.
Good point.
So we're going to start off with just like a simple, like, let's go Olive Garden breadstick. All right. It's delightful. You know, everyone's going to crush like 3 or 4. Yeah. Of those
even
things.
If people that are like Olive Garden's not real, like, you still eat their fucking breadstick.
Yeah. The breadstick, I don't like Olive Garden either, but their breadsticks, I will give them 100 kudos to those.
Yeah, over Red Lobster?
Actually, I was going to offer that as well.
Okay.
We'll do Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits as well. So maybe half basket for the table.
Yep.
You guys split that shit
Fair
up.
Enough. And I know some people are out there like, Texas Roadhouse, shut up. Just shut up. This is our menu.
Yeah, exactly.
that's why I'm quiet over here.
All right. And then next up, we'll get into the salad territory, but I'm going to lighten it up a little bit. Give me like a – dude, I love like a good spinach salad with some like – dried cranberries and toasted walnuts, freshen and mandarin oranges like and that. Stuff, like little palate cleanser, little raspberry vinaigrette on there.
Agreed.
Lead everyone on to think that they're, this might be like a delightful, like light
meal. A light fish or something. Yeah,
that's
where
you turn the corner. So the next up, lobster bisque, slap to the face, just heavy fucking cream all day. Heavy on the sherry. All right, let's get those bubble guts going. And then following up that, I think we got to go like another little palate cleanser. And we do like a, let's do a round of raclette for the table.
Okay.
All right. So everyone, I don't know if you've ever heard of raclette, but it is.
I haven't heard of that.
It's basically like it's, Swiss if you've fondue.
Had
fondue yeah,
if you had
thing,
fondue before, but it's except similar
like
to that.
You just have like a oh, shaved okay. piece and you boil it, like just broil it to the hell and then slide it over mm-hmm. potatoes or like little prosciutto or yeah. bread, anything. So you it's just phenomenal. Have a little mix of that. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, serve the entire table a tomahawk steak. One huge tomahawk steak per table. And we'll have all the accoutrement with it. We'll have okay. a nice chimichurri to choose from. Maybe a couple select
like
chimichurris.
Herb butter or something like that.
Some herb butter. And then we'll have, you know, those potatoes and stuff left over from the raclette that you could throw in with that. Enjoy that. So let's see. That'd be number five. Number six, we'll round Jeez. It up. Yeah, we'll do
after
some.
After that, we're supposed to eat. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So you still got to eat after the tomahawk. So then that's going to be like the fresh, like the seafood king's platter Ooh. For the table. So okay. we'll go with a raw section.
So you go more like family style with this stuff?
Exactly. Okay, yeah, gotcha. I want it for the whole table. Because gotcha. Then like when it's family style, you don't ever really gauge how much you eat. And that's I feel true. Like everyone always overeats for it. So I would do actually raw and cooked.
Okay.
So I'd have like maybe a nice like tuna tartare in there. And then we'll go with, you know, just a little sushi. And then on the other side, give me, I don't want to do crab legs, a little too much, but give me like some scallops, give me some lobster tails.
Okay.
And then, you
but
know.
Crab's too much, but
maybe,
all right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, lobster's lighter than crab.
We're on course six, and you're worried about yeah, it.
It's
too
all
much.
About being able to finish at home. And then,
all right.
To final close course? It out, the final course, man, I'm just going to go, let's just load it up with like a croquembouche tower right for the table, a cream puff tower. You know, just to really add some pizzazz.
Isn't that cream puff covered in like caramel?
Caramel.
Yeah.
Hell right? yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sticky caramel and some like floss sugar, like turn it on the side. Yeah. Really yeah. class it up.
Okay.
Close it out. And yeah, I think that'd be it.
Yeah. It'd be even baller. Like if you put like a little hidden message in each one, like bite it like you suck.
Yeah, exactly. It has a voice box in it. Just, oh, yeah. Mr. Bill. You're
gonna, just really fuck with like, you're going to have food poisoning tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think Larry Mize is making it past the salads.
Exactly.
He's like, there's three things on the menu I would eat. Good shit. Man, Zach, thank you very much for joining us, man. I appreciate it. Absolutely. It's been a long time coming, I think. I think you and Gage are now very much on the radar. Do you guys have any goals set for like this year, like where you guys want to finish? Like, do you guys ever talk about things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So that actually comes back to, I'll say what's my personal goals for finishing before I say cars, just because the books had a lot to do with that. Obviously, I'm trying. My goal is to be a top 10 player in the world.
Okay.
This year. I was top 51 last year. And mainly because if you shoot for a number that you're like, oh, I kind of want to be around like where I was last year, top 20, and then if you fall short of that goal, then you're not where you want to be. But if I want to be top 10 and I fall short, I'm top 15, then cool, I'm perfectly happy with it. So that's my goal for singles. Doubles for us, we want to be, same thing, top 10 doubles team in the world. We were 20 last year, and I feel like we were a few bags, maybe a couple rounds away from being top 15 last year. So yeah, that's our goal, to be a top 10 team in the world this year.
And what bags have you guys?
We both can do it.
What are you guys throwing this year?
So we've been throwing the Sieges still this year. Last year we ended with the Marksman, and they've just been a little bit too quick on the boards for us when it comes to the cutting and rolling. So we were throwing the Sieges. But the new bag that's came out this year is the Matrix, which is like the wizard bag for seeding. It's a 9 on the fast side and a 5 on the slow side.
I love that. So for a bag name, that's baller. No one's used that before.
No one's used it. I know.
Matrix. I love that. That's a good series name. Hell yeah.
There's been two companies that use Wizards. So.
Nice. Oh yeah.
So yeah, I think this is going to be a bag we should be really good with.
Sweet.
It'll be able to cut and roll more better.
I was going to let it go.
The flat bill Sieges stuff.
It's nice too, because you and Gage play a similar style. You know what I mean? So like you guys can just stay consistent with the same series. You know what I mean? Don't have to get too crazy about it.
Yeah, that was another one of the main reasons why we partnered up and stuck it out again this year, too.
It makes
too much sense.
Does it ever get weird? Like, do you guys always throw like your set or his set? You know what I mean? Like, is it always like one or the other?
No, I mean, I think it's all just how the boards are playing, honestly, because obviously you'll go to the different boards and some will be slower, some will be faster. Like, we've played tournaments to where we've thrown my gray sieges and then the boards got quick, so we went back to his blue sieges that he has. So we've rotated a lot. We've thrown all of them together. So we're comfortable enough to be able to make that mid-tournament switch if need be.
So have you noticed that there is a difference in, like, color of the bag and speed, or do you feel like it's more like break-in process and, like, just how broken in the bag is?
I think it all the above.
Okay.
how many times it's been thrown, hit the ground, what surface it's been thrown on, grass, dirt, indoors the whole time, is it dirtier, less dirty, color? So, yeah, I think it's there's a lot of factors that come into it. I think if you're trying to get a bag to a certain point, then you take those drastic measures if it's not getting to where you want it to be.
Fair enough.
I like it.
Opinion.
All the above.
Oh, yeah.
See, we always try to pin it on one thing.
We do.
Well, Sean, it's not.
It's not.
It's all of it. God damn it.
Sure is. Sure is. Well, Zach, again, thank you very much for joining us, man. This was fun. We'll have you on again after you guys win a national this year. We'll have Gage join because I think you partnering with Gage would be very entertaining.
Heck yeah. I like to open him up from time to time.
Yeah, he's such a good dude. And like when he gets to know you a little bit, he's super funny. You know what I mean? He's sneaky funny. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but he's just a quieter guy in nature. But yeah, I think we'd have some fun.
We would have fun.
Yeah. Has he been a guest? Yeah. He's been a guest, right?
I think he was a guest earlier.
Yeah.
A little bit earlier.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Like, two years ago. He's the quiet one. I'm the loud one. So it works out. You can't have two quiet people.
That's why the world's not ready for like you and Jackson to be like pro partners, though. Like, that would be a lot.
Yeah, that'd be a lot. We would yell back at each other.
Yeah. That would be entertaining. Be very entertaining. Yes. Correct. Correct.
You just wouldn't hear the echoes of boom.
Dude, it's crazy, man. I know every time I see that kid, he's getting taller.
Yeah, he's a tall kid.
Jesus, crazy, man.
My last thing I'll say, if I can,
please,
real quick,
please.
Is when we played with each other in Memphis and we took the picture before the bracket, I knew it was a problem when he went to me and put his arm over my shoulder. And I'm like, boy, you're 14, I'm 31. I got to do that to you, not the other way around.
Duck down.
Exactly. Get a step. At least look like you're shorter.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like I'm married to well, my wife's taller than me, so it's like that all the time.
He's
like,
destined for it.
Yeah, correct.
But if do you you want to take the chance to shout any of your sponsors out real quick, and then we can close it on out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, see, as you see in the hoodie, shout out to Sea of a Cornhole, and they're my bag sponsor, who's coming out with the Matrix this year, which we should be throwing. Cornhole Chemistry also. And then last, Big Chiefs Athletics.
Sweet.
Not Cornhole anymore. So it's going to be Big Chiefs Athletics this year.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll let folks go at home. We'll have you hang out just for a minute. But thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with more fun stuff next week. And as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later.